Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for another special edition of the OC Spotlight. The one show, maybe the only show, that shows you the most amazing things happening right here in our own backyard. And this year, this week, this moment, is there anything more interesting and exciting than the 25th anniversary of the Newport Beach Film Festival? And for me, as a lifelong fourth-generation Irishman here, always fascinated by that culture and where I came from, I'm fascinated that there's an Irish spotlight once again this Sunday at Fashion Island. We'll talk more about that with a woman who knows. She knows a wee bit about this, as she likes to say, a wee bit about the world of Irish film and television, because she is the CEO of the, is it the Irish Film and Television Academy? Did I get that correct?
Yes, you did, Paul.
All right. Now, you notice I've been avoiding saying your name because it's spelled one way, but in the Irish, it's pronounced another way. And I'll see if I can even tackle it. Is it Anya? Anya?
That will do. That's perfect.
That was close. All right. Anya Moriarty, CEO of this organization. That's a prestigious group. This is on par with the people who put on the British Film and Television Awards, the BAFTAs, and the Academy Awards here in this country, right? This is what function you fill in Ireland for the film and television industry there, right?
That's right, Paul. I suppose we throughout the year, we do master classes and discussions and lots of events with our Academy members back home in Ireland. And then we also put on the annual awards ceremony showcasing the best of what Ireland has to offer, both an Irish and international platform. So, yeah, similar roles, absolutely.
Well, that's what my grandmother always said. I was the best of what Ireland has to offer her. She said, ah, you're going to grow up to, when she'd slip into the brogue, she'd say, you're going to grow up to be a talker, this one here, and I certainly have here. What is it about the Irish character that loves stories, that tells stories? I tell this story all the time. I went to Ireland once in my life, in my college years. I went with my family in search of our roots, which we never found at that time. And everywhere I went, there was a story. If you asked somebody, I was in Dublin and I asked them how to get to O'Connell Street, the big street running through, and immediately they'd say, oh, O'Connell Street, where me mother met me grandfather. Oh, what a rat he turned out, or met me father, what a rat he turned out to be. If only she'd stayed away from that accursed street. Everything's a story. Is it left or right? There's never a simple answer in Ireland. What is it about the Irish that tell stories?
Yes, we're storytellers. It's in our DNA. I'm like, I don't know. Is it the fact that back before famine times and so forth, we didn't have a lot in this country back? Yeah, and we respect that, and it's our DNA remembers that as well. But the storytelling was around the fireplace, large families, great neighbors. People were very poor back, obviously, in the day, but we had a great tradition of education and learning.
Absolutely.
And our Irish language was very important to us. And the Irish language itself and the Irish psyche, it's creative. It's very artistic. And that's something that we've carried with us no matter where we've gone.
And that's celebrated. It's encouraged. Just in my own little family, if you couldn't be funnier than somebody else, if you didn't have a quick comeback, if you couldn't banter back and forth, you were quickly lost. You had to be able to hold your own in a conversation. And when I went to Ireland, you go to the pubs, oh my goodness, they would recite Yeats and
Joyce
and Brendan Behan and all these writers and poets and people. It's just the common guy driving a lorry or a truck would just spout out this magnificent stuff like it was just mother's milk to them over there.
Yeah, and it's interesting because a lot of it has been, we've been telling stories not in our native language for the last century.
Which I don't think most Americans grasp. I don't know that I grasped that. I didn't realize that this was obviously imposed. Go look at the history of Ireland. It's a sad one here, and lots of invasions and lots of conquests, and mostly with the British. And they took over and imposed this language on the people. But there is a language that still thrives and survives, maybe in pockets here and there. And in fact, we're going to see a film this Sunday in the Irish language. Do I call it Celtic? Do I call it Gaelic? How do we refer to it?
Yeah. Gaelic. Yeah, the Gaelic language, the Irish language. And you're referring to Fiddle Gurum. It's a beautiful...
The blue fiddle. Yes, right, in English, right?
Fiddle Gurum. Gurum is the Irish word for blue. And it's a very sweet film. about a young 10-year-old girl. Her dad, unfortunately, has fallen into a coma. Mm-hmm. And she gets an old guy to teach her the fiddle because she believes that will bring him out of his
sleep. There's magic. There's a hope. And that, to me, captures what I grew up feeling about. I couldn't put my finger on it, but there was always, even the darkest days of a depression or whatever, there was a hope. The Irish, in the darkest moments, is hope. When I went to Ireland, it's a very dark landscape. It's a big rock in the middle of the ocean. And because it rains all the time, it's green. So there's hope springing eternal from what seems like just a dead rock in the middle of the ocean to me. I think that's something about the Irish character. Despite being beaten down and beaten up through the years, there is a hope that continues through, and almost a belief in magic, fairies and little people and leprechauns and all that. Is that part of it, or am I reading too much into it?
Yeah, you need to come to Ireland proper, because you're reading old stories from your great-grandparents.
Yeah, I'm reading Darby O'Gill and the Little People, the Disney film that I watched as a boy, yeah.
But that's the fantasy, and that's it's a little bit Disney, and right. That's wonderful, and that is being creative and fantastical and all of that. But Ireland of today is very modern. Technology and all of that is a mm-hmm. big thing, and I suppose the one thing that we do hold on to is our creativity and our storytelling in amongst all of that, mm-hmm. which is wonderful. And anyway, the fiddle girl that you're referring to there, that's that lovely Irish language. Like I sent my children to school and to study Oscuilge, which is in the Irish language, everything, their science, their geography, their maths, mm-hmm. all of that. And that's become a big thing here in Ireland. Again, there's a resurgence of pride in our native language.
Yeah.
And even in the cities.
Because for a while it seemed like that was going to be extinct. When I went to Ireland in probably the early 80s, you had to look for it. I know it was still taught in the schools, but most people didn't speak it. If they did, it was very little. They didn't speak it as their day-to-day tongue here. But more and more I'm reading about, particularly in cities like Dublin, what do we call them, hipsters, young, cool people that think this is not just trendy but important, to send their kids to Irish-only schools and Irish-only and listen to Irish-only radio and TV stations.
That's right. You're right. It was that it was just in the Gaeltacht areas, they called it.
West, yeah, right.
And so you had pockets of areas that they just spoke nothing but Irish. And so slowly but surely, I just speak about the city because I've moved to the city here in Dublin, that they started investing in Irish schools, where the minute you pass your kids pass the gateway, mm-hmm. they switch over just like that mm-hmm. into Irish language. And it's a beautiful thing. And when you see it, and again, talking about, we're starting to create Irish movies now in that are they're contemporary films, but yet they're in the Irish language. And if you recall a beautiful film called On Colleen Kuhne, The Quiet Girl, mm-hmm. it was shortlisted for an Oscar.
It was. I never saw the film, but I read about it. And it's somehow a girl that's left with a family or something. I forgot the whole story, but she's left behind, becomes very quiet, and then and how she blossoms and comes out of this. Yeah. And it's in Irish.
Right. Yeah. It's only 2 years ago that it got shortlisted for an Oscar. And we, as the Irish Academy, we shortlist the film that goes and represents Ireland in
right.
the international feature, which is every country puts forward their best film in a language that it, other than English. Mm-hmm. And so we put forward On Colleen Kuhne, The Quiet Girl. And it was originally written in English by a lady called Claire Keegan. Mm-hmm. And Claire actually wrote the short story called Foster. And yes, it's about a young girl who was, in a sense, fostered out to her relatives during the summer mm-hmm. Because her family were not very well-to-do and they had lots of kids. For parts of the film, you're sitting on the edge of your seat because you really don't know what's going to happen to this little girl. She's so innocent. And this husband and wife that she goes to out in the countryside. But it's the most incredible film. If any of your listeners haven't seen this film, you need to see it.
I remember reading about it because it was the first Irish language film that ran across my radar here in the United States in Southern California. And it was, I'm fascinated by film. I'm fascinated by the film industry. We're in Southern California, after all. and yeah. Did some work in it years ago. I was an entertainment publicist for Johnny Mathis and Anthony Quinn and a bunch of people. So I was around that world when my younger. And I know that Irish films have always had a certain popularity to it, like the ones that Jim Sheridan was doing and others. But I never thought Irish language films. I didn't think that far. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, and there is definitely a resurgence. And then when you think about it for this year, which is a bit on Colleen Kuhn, The Quiet Girl was such a gentle, soft film. Mm-hmm. But this year we've selected Kneecap, an Irish language film to represent Ireland. And I really have this feeling that it's going to go a long way as well in the Oscar race within international feature. And it's an Irish language, but it's done in Northern Ireland. And it's a bunch of guys who do rap music.
Why not? Of course. Yeah.
And it's incredible. Michael Fassbender plays the dad. Mm-hmm. And these young guys, obviously the troubles in Northern Ireland, the troubles in Belfast.
Ah, the days of the troubles, as they call them. We can't call them a war or a civil war. It was just the troubles.
Yeah, the troubles is how we refer to it. But this is the next generation trying to live in the aftermath of, because obviously they've had peace there. There's been the peace agreement in Northern Ireland.
Since the Easter Accords under Clinton here, right? Exactly.
There you go.
I follow this from a distance. So what is it? I understand the feeling to find your roots and recapture the language. I won't call it a lost language because it was never completely gone, but it was certainly diminished in popularity and in use and data thing. Now it's resurging and more that's coming back. Does that limit it, like all foreign films, to a certain audience, or does that resonate still even with subtitles? And if so, would they ever dub it into Spanish or English?
Oh, they're doing it all the time. Paul, they're doing it all the time. And that's like that market for subtitles and international languages, foreign languages, as we'd all refer to it. That market is huge now worldwide. Mm-hmm. People don't, there's no barrier to anymore to reading the subtitles on the screen. Right. Even people go to the cinema and they just do that. So it's the best time ever to be making Irish language films because somebody who, from an Irish point of view, might feel, kind of a language that isn't widely used. But if you bring that to Germany or you bring it to South America or you bring it wherever, they don't know much about what level that language was used. They just see it as being a foreign language and they're reading the subtitles and they're seeing what's on the screen. So
no different than they would if they were reading in English, watching a Hollywood film here and subtitled into German or Spanish or whatever.
Exactly. But the market is absolutely huge for that now, and which is great. So it means that it's cost effective to invest in Irish language film.
Right. I got to cut this short because we have another show coming up in a minute. I just celebrate that this is coming here and that we get to see it. And I think Greg Schwenk, who puts on this festival for the last 25 years, should be commended. I don't think he has an ounce of Irish blood in him, but he certainly has been a supporter of Irish films through the years and consistently putting on showcases for multi-language films. From Latin night, he has different nights. But the Irish in particular, he really finds a beauty in what's happening there. And I can't say I'm surprised because the Irish have been storytellers, the writers, the poets, the other films that I've seen in the past. I think it's a natural storytelling race of people here. And I look forward to hearing the story, and always with a little different kind of view to it. There's a little, what would you say that Irish twist is? Maybe it's not Darby O'Gill and the Little People. Maybe it's not that cute, but there's always a little kind of attitude or different. You can tell it's an Irish film. Maybe it's the banter and the language and stuff. They don't just tend to be, people say, whatever.
Well, we like humor as well. And we're able to juxtapose humor with darkness as well.
Yeah, you nailed it. Life. That's it.
Yeah, real life happenings. But we're able to deal with those. Well, we try and deal with those subject matter. But anyway, thanks to Greg and the Newport Beach Film Festival, they've been so supportive of Irish film. Kathleen is here, wonderful films on Taifsha, Amongst Women, Four Mothers. There's a whole bunch of Irish films. So I hope all your listeners go and get down there to the cinemas.
Yep. It's this Sunday at the Fashionable Fashion Island, and there's an Irish showcase, multiple films being shown on an Irish Spotlight night and a big party naturally afterwards at the Irish pub next door, Muldoon's. Thank you so much for joining us and explaining this phenomenon that I'm just amazed has made its way here to our shore here. Irish language films like those being shown at this weekend's Newport Beach Film Festival. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
There you have it. One more reason to tune in each and every time to Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.